Well, morning to everyone.
Good morning.
You all look bright and sassy. Nice to see your smiling faces today. Jason, that was really a blessing. Thank you. That was a really great story. Another man coming down into the kingdom. Really wonderful. Any thoughts that before we begin from last night? Anyone have anything they wanted to throw out there for any reason particularly? As again, you don't have to. This morning we're going to talk about a couple of things. First one is that the discipleship and becoming a disciple is caught and not taught. So I can't teach you to be disciples. It's something that doesn't happen. And we catch it from being around others that are doing it and involved in it and believe in it. And we see it. And so when Jesus says in John 13:34-35, he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Big if in there. And so what happens is when strife and fights and chaos, and not that there's anything, you know, wrong with those, but when people go into different religious activities and they see this, they say, "This looks like my house. This looks like where I live. And there's nothing different here." So Jesus says, this is the difference, and this is what he modeled. He modeled that. So the only difference between the Old Testament sayings and the commandments is this one new commandment. One new commandment. And he says, "As I have loved you, you love one another." So the great commandments, which we talked about last night, is love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is this, that you love your neighbor as you love yourself. The Great Commission, which we're talking about today, is found in Matthew 28, which says, "Go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of," who knows the
Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Everything I've done for you. And what's the last part?
"Surely I will be with you always to the very end of the
age." This is the beautiful thing about this is Jesus is telling us to love one another, and then he says, "Behold, when you're doing this, I will be with you always. I will never leave you. I will always be with you when you are making disciples." Wonderful thing. I can't tell you the number of days that I've gotten up to go meet with a man and said to God, "God, I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know what to tell this guy. I don't know. I'm empty. I'm tired. I was up late last night. I have nothing. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know why I'm even going." And have God say to me, "David, that's great. That's great. That's exactly where I want you." And I would go to that meeting, and in that meeting would be the greatest meetings that I would ever have with guys. When I could shut my mouth, listen, not say anything, and be with him and trust that God is going to bring whatever he wants into this disciple's life. So I can't teach him. There's no becoming a teacher is the worst thing you can do, because the whole process of this is what we're trying to do with a man is connect him to God. So if I think that I know what this guy needs, I'm getting in God's way and causing issues and problems. So basically all I do is show up. And I do two things with men. First thing I do is ask questions. So ask questions coming about means that you care about this person's soul. And when you think about it, how many men have you run into that have cared for your soul? If I were to look back on mine, I'd say probably four men that I can remember took an active interest in my soul. And I really thank God for those men, and I thank you for the way they did it. But they would ask me questions, and then they would listen to me. And then sometimes they would feed back, and sometimes they wouldn't. But I learned so much from these four men, particularly Joe, but then there were three other men also that really took an interest and cared and asked me the right questions and continued to challenge my thinking so that I could consider, you know, the future. So discipleship is caught and not taught. You cannot teach it. Okay. Any thoughts on that? What do you think?
Examples of the kinds of questions you ask guys to help them think about what they are?
Well, first of all, most men have a job. And they're really, most men struggle some parts of their job. And most of the time they want to talk about that. Also, they have a wife, most of them. And most of them, at least me, I struggle with that relationship, and it's really an issue. Then they have children, like Jason today was talking about his daughter, holding his daughter in his arm. He doesn't know what to do with that daughter. He doesn't know how to raise that child. He doesn't know. He wants to talk about that. He wants to get that out on the table and begin. And so what I do, and when those questions are asked, then usually it will trigger something in my life that I've gone through the similar things. We all go through the same things. This is the same for all of us, you know. There's a sameness about this, that we all go through the same struggles, the same issues. So it's getting them out on the table, getting them out of the well. As we go deeper, you know, one of the things that Joe would ask me, he'd say to me, Dave, are you keeping the horse in the barn? I said, what does that mean? Hey, the horse in the barn? He said, yeah. You know what the horse is? I said, you talking about my pecker? He said, yeah, that's it. He said, you got it. You got to keep your fly up if you're going to be following the Lord. He said, how are you doing with that? It's a good question, you know. So I'm doing pretty good, doing okay, Joe. But he would, every once in a while, he'd say, you're keeping the horse in the barn. I'd say, yeah, it's in the barn. It's in the barn. Only at home does he come out. So, whatever questions you think or how you pose them, you know, it worked okay with me. It was all right. And but how you pose them, it's just when you're working with men, all you need to do is ask them that, and then when you visit with them, you tell them the story. Because what we're trusting is that God is going to get in and start moving in this guy's life. I am doing no good for anyone by conforming them to my image or making them like Dave Rathkamp. That is not where I'm to be. So if I get over there in that area at all, I mean, I'm off base.
Dave, how do you reconcile that comment with your book, Imitate Me?
You mean by the title? Well, what we're saying is that needs models of men that are following Christ with their lives the best they're able. And what does that look like? So one of the things with my Timothys, I want them to come to my home. I want them to see what it looks like. Not that it's perfect by any means. I mean, Tadashi can tell you that. It's not perfect, but it's functional. It's very functional, and it works. And something there is happening because Christ is in me and Christ is in my wife, and somehow this walk by faith is seen by the people or the disciples that come around. They see that it works. So it's a modeling is all it is. Does that answer your question?
By the way, Matthew 19:20 does not say obey. Teach them to observe everything I'm commanded. It says teach them to obey everything I'm commanded. And so one of the things I'm showing them that I'm meeting with is my struggle with obeying Christ, because that is an ongoing struggle for me, and I assume for everyone. And so, as Dave's saying, modeling that. By the way, it was Paul who said, imitate me, share the gospel as I have with you, so men and women will come to Christ. That's what that scripture that's referenced is, anyway.
Well,
so, just to pick up on what Dave is saying, we are not mentors to men. We are not coaches to men. We are directing men back to Christ in every instance, that he is the discipler of men. It's his work. As Dave said, he'll be with you in 28. In 20, he said, I'll be with you when you go do that. So that's a comfort, you know, that he's there doing his work.
Okay, why don't we move along here a little bit this morning. In fact, in that verse that you just brought up, Rick, just to piggyback just a hair before the, in front of that, First Corinthians 4:15 says, for though you have might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, 10,000 instructors, yet you do not have many fathers. Now, a father is someone who cares. That's a personal interest Paul's talking about. They have a personal interest in your soul. So this is what needs to, we need to get to this place where we realize that it's not about my soul, it's about your soul. It's about the other man's soul. When I'm taking care of other men's souls with Christ and working on those souls, God takes care of mine. This is how it works. Whatever you give away, you have in the kingdom. It's how you get it. That's one of the keys. So, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel, says Paul. So this is the process of imitate me. Be like, I'm a father to you. I am a father figure to you. With Joe, I didn't know that. I didn't even know what was going on. And I'm realizing I'm being reparented. My dad was a mess. But when I finished with Joe, Joe had taken over that role. I hadn't seen it. I didn't realize it till probably 2 or 3 years down the track. Is what happened. Okay?
So would spiritual parenting be appropriate?
It's a good word.
For discipleship?
It's a good word. Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah. But most of the time, to use that, men are not looking for that. I was not looking for that. If you said, you want a new father? No, not looking for that. So it's not... There's not a whole lot of value to it. You don't realize it until down the road a little bit. Okay, why don't we turn in our Bibles to John, back to John 15 just for a minute. Lord Jesus, thank you this morning for your word. Thank you that you've given it to us, and thank you that you want us to know it and believe it and live it. And so it's a living word, it's alive and it's active, sharp, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints of the marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So you work in our heart through these scriptures by your Spirit. So we pray this morning that you would work in our hearts, all of us together, as we visit here together on this topic. So thank you, and thank you for joining us. In Jesus' name, amen. In John chapter 15, verse 9, we talked about last night. As we go down a little bit further, in verse 12, which I was just talking about, he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And 13 says, greater love has no one than this, than he lay down one's life for his friends. So basically, what we're doing in discipleship is taking our life and laying it down for another person. So we're taking that and laying it down. Now, when we start doing that, we begin to love these people. And God's love starts to flourish up in us, and it starts to motivate and move and becomes active. So this love becomes an action in this guy's life. So as I'm moving along through the process of this, in my family, and my family was observing me, one day my daughter Laura came to me and she said, Dad, you only love one thing. I said, really? What's that? She said, businessmen. You just love businessmen. I said, no, it's not really true, Laura. I said, I love people. And she goes, yeah, and you love me and Mom, and I know that, but you don't love my friends. You don't love my friends. I said, well, what? How do you come up with that? She said, well, all the boyfriends that come around here, you don't like any of them. I said, I don't. You're right. You got me. She said, well, why don't you like them? I said, because I used to be one of them. And I was in their pants and in their shoes. And I knew that when I was coming after the girls, what I wanted to do with them. I wanted to bed them down. And I don't want other men bedding you down. So I can't fall in love with these guys. And I said, when you get one guy and you get married, when you get married and all, I'll really like them. But I will try to love these guys. I'm not going to deny what you're saying. I think you're right. And I think I need to change. And I need to get for me just to love businessmen, that's a very convicting statement. I mean, I'm glad that you think that. And I was glad that she could observe it. But also, I was off base. So it was for me to love all people. So I had to get off just that and get to loving people. It was a great eye-opener of a thing. So Jesus says, as I have loved you, that you love others. So, and that you lay down your life for your friends. So whoever your friends are, Jesus is saying, lay your life down for them. What a statement.
See? He stood up for, all of the people that were being shunned by society. Just as you're shunning all of her boyfriends,
exactly.
You're actually looking out for their well-being, because you might have to hurt them if they were doing a mistake.
I'm going to have to hurt them.
So by taking away, you're actually protecting them.
Right. So, right. Might have to hurt them. I hadn't thought about it that way, but that's probably right. Yeah. I'd have to move out of my love mode, right? Yeah. So.
No.
No, he's on the other side of the fence, right?
Yeah.
So you are my friends. If you do, then he says, if you lay down your life, and if you do, as Jay says, whatever I command you, then you're going to continue to be my friend. So friendship and keeping his commandments are kind of tied in together. And then he says one of the most amazing things in the scriptures. This is something. Now, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Everything that my Father has given to me and shown me, I have shown you. I've not withheld anything from you. Nothing. So transparency with Timothy is a critical element. I've got to be able to let him know where I'm coming from and what's going on in my life. And if I allow that to take place, then he will feel free enough to be able to enter in and be not bound and locked up the same way.
Come out of the gate.
The gate, yeah. Come out of the gate. Yeah. Yeah, come down from your fences. Open the gate, yeah. And I've got to open the gate with everyone. You can't. Now, here's the tension. Opening the gate and casting your pearl before swine is the other side of the coin. So you've got to be somewhat mature in doing this. In other words, you can't just throw yourself everywhere all over the place. People don't care anyway. But when you get into relationships that are one-on-one and that you're discipling, that needs to take place. So, Jesus Christ says that he wants us to be his friend. Isn't that amazing? So we are a friend of his. This is how we look at him. And then, 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Now, I didn't have anything to do with this. I'm here sitting with you today. I had nothing to do with this, really. It was about something that he did. I chose you, and then he appointed me that I should go and bear fruit. Fruit is twofold. Fruit is physical, and fruit is spiritual. And just so you'll have the verses on those, Romans 1:13, somebody grab Romans 1:13, if you would. Somebody else grab Mark 4:20. Probably wrote down the wrong ones here, but one of them is in Romans, the other is in, I believe it's Mark. Somebody get any one of those, Romans 1:13?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I've had among the other Gentiles.
Use the word harvest. Harvest is fruit. That I might have fruit among you. So there'll be people will come out of this. And then, of course, you know the other side of it is the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. So that's the spiritual fruit. So the spiritual fruit, when Paul refers to it, and also there is physical fruit. Both very legitimate in the Scriptures. So we're to reveal all that Jesus has revealed to Timothy through his word. So when things come up and issues come up, what we try to do, one of the reasons for knowing the Bible, and which I was so insecure about when I began this with Joe and meeting with a guy, is I did not know the Bible very well. And so I was concerned about how am I going to answer these questions for people. You know, I don't want to be a dope. So eventually you've got to get into this word to a point where you can take him to the Scriptures. When my Timothy currently, he said to me recently, you know, Dave, what I like about our meeting time together is you always show me in the Bible what you're talking about. So if I'm saying something, I'll say to him, let me show you where the Scripture says what I'm talking about. And so we'll go to it and show him. So what I'm doing with him is building a foundation of Christ into his life. I can't do anything to him, but I can show him. And I can say, here's where it says this, or here's where it says that. So that that foundation is going to be laid, and he can take that foundation and build it on someone else. Make sense?
Yeah, that's what I've always enjoyed about Operation Timothy, is it gets, you know, if you go through the four books, it gets you in the habit of formulating a question and then looking to Scripture for the answer. Which is one of the value of it.
Yeah. Yeah, this afternoon I'm going to talk about why Operation Timothy. In other words, why we use that tool and how it works, how it should work. And so, but we're, this morning, that's right, I totally agree with that, Rick. Yes, sir.
Just a comment for you guys that are calls is that I can't always, when we're talking about an issue, I can't always, out of my own will, come up with a scripture at that time. But that doesn't mean that I won't get it within a short period of time when I get back home and have a chance to do a little thinking and looking and find it. And then I'll send it back to him to validate it. So don't worry that you can't disciple him because you don't have every answer already. None of us do.
Good point, Jay.
Yeah. God will give you those answers. Ask him and he'll direct you to it, and then you'll learn something. in the process, because he's teaching me probably a whole lot more than he's teaching my Timothy. I'm the one that's getting the most out of it.
Good. So we can write it down on a piece of paper and say, a reminder for me, go back, find out where that is in the scripture.
Yeah.
Bring it back up the next time. If you don't have it.
Go back to your Bible and say, let's see what this topic is and go right there, and then you just do it right then. I don't have to have the answer. It's like, this stuff's so simple. You just look back, the guy's got an issue. So I don't know. I know this is somewhere. Let's look it up, and then you go there together. I don't have to be the answer man ever. So it's like, hey, let's go together. And then we read the verse. Okay, what's that say? And then we talk about it. So I don't have to even get back to him. I just do it right there. Because you got all these references in the back. I mean, it's simple.
I have, being a talker, sometimes I tend to talk and not do that. So that's when I'm, that's what we're talking about. There's a tendency just to tell a guy, give him the answer. Okay? And rather than go there. So that's just one of the things that we have to be careful of.
Teaching him to feed himself.
Yes, that's right. Exactly, that's right.
You're not always going to be around.
Right, that's right. So he's learning to feed in the scriptures himself. This is another key area that he's, if when you become a disciple, you are feeding at the same place that the pastor does. So you are then feeding. I have to, you know, a lot of people say they go to church. Okay, I've already heard everything the pastor said. Well, maybe you've heard it all. But the fact of the matter is, you've got to understand that you're feeding the same place that he's feeding. It's the same. So if you don't understand that, then you can become discouraged with the pastor and cause a riff in yourself and take off somewhere. That's what people do as they grow. Yeah, whatever happens there, it happens. But, I mean, that's really what's happening. I'll say, I'm just going to add in here, I think that John 16 also, Jesus is speaking to the individuals and not to organizations. I did not believe this for a long time, but I think that God seems to have problems with organizations. When things get our own organization that I'm involved with, and a lot of problems. And the other organizations that I'm familiar with, a lot of problems, Christian organizations. And I'm not sure that he really likes it. In other words, it doesn't seem to be one of his favorite things, let's put it that way. So when he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. So he chooses people. Okay. Yeah, it's an individual call. And then we choose to go in and be involved with different places and different things. But it's the call is to a person. Who said that? Somebody say that? Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Okay. As these things happen here, and we begin to understand these things, it's a tremendous affirmation to the sending process that Jesus wants us to go out and go. Go and make disciples. And I've appointed you, I've ordained you, you're fully equipped, I'll be with you always. I don't understand why there's not more. I don't get it. I mean, this is the mandate, but people are running around. See, and as somebody said, I think Jay said, this is not about, it's not about you. It's not for you that Jesus gave me this. He gave this for me. This is where I grow. People want to know, how do I know the will of God? This is how you know the will of God. Go give your life to somebody. Go lay it down for someone. And then God will show you his will. That's how it happens. But if you're not obedient, can't get it. That's why so many Christians worry, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't know what God's will is for my life. I don't know what it is. I don't hear that. It's ridiculous. It's right here. It's simple. Don't you think? Is that true? Yeah. Okay. All right, we're going to go to the, right now, in closing our time this morning, we're going to go to the Christian businessman's lifetime verse. You ever heard of that one?
No.
Okay, it's in Mark 4:19-20. So let's, why don't we turn to that verse? We're going to start two verses.
I got it, Dave.
You got it, Bob?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's here. The worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil, and they bear the word and accept it, and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So, this is the end of the parable of the sower, and you got two verses. The first verse is talking about three things that cause us a problem that we've got to be aware of. And these things choke the Word of God. So when the Word of God comes into us, it won't get in. Trying to get more, it won't come. And the reason is these three things. Now, what is the first one?
Worries
of the world. Okay, cares of the world. Problems. Yes, you got probably this problem. I had this problem. I had a problem over here. Problem over here. Problem over here. Problem over here. Cares. Whoa.
Number one, the reason that it just came to me, because I think my wife has always said that that's what cuts us off from the Spirit, is the problems of the world, that, you know, Fox News.
Oh, God. Fox News. That's a great one right there. Oh, my man, you want some cares?
Always trying to throw these topics out. You need to worry about
I say to my wife, why do you watch this stuff? I say to my wife, why do you watch
breaking
this?
News,
I don't watch
news.
That. Breaking news. Yeah, here you go. Well, if you want some more cares,
it's the media is loading the media world. That's how the media makes money.
Yeah.
That's how they make money. That's his point. Fox News is number one. That's why I brought it up, because everybody wants Fox
Emery,
News,
that's,
right?
Emery, that's, well, that was a great. I think that's the most valuable input we've had so far. I mean, that's tremendous. That's really good. That's some good stuff right there.
She said that we don't witness as many miracles anymore.
It's true. We hit a nerve here. Okay. All right. We got to shut it down. We're gonna have some small groups, and in the small groups, we're gonna lay it out there. Okay. Second one. What's the second one? Okay, let's see how that one goes. Okay, now
I think he gave us a good example of it this morning.
Yeah?
Yeah,
that's a good one, wasn't it? Yeah.
More toys will make you happy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a little demon that sits on the shoulder of every one of us and says, if you had a little more money, you would be a lot happier. That little demon speaks constantly. So we've got to shut him down. That guy's got to get, I mean, we can't. The deceitfulness, Jesus calls it, that we're going to be happier if we have this, or if we have that, or if my retirement plan grows up to get what to this particular number, then I will really be there. No, you're nowhere, basically. It doesn't do, it's not an iota. It doesn't do anything except for about a second. That's about as long as it lasts. Yeah. Good day, bad day, market's up, market's down, bo, 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 bo.
Yeah, well, the line keeps moving in that.
Yeah, no, you move it all the time, sure.
You know, so,
yeah.
Of course, then at that point, you're like, holy cow.
Yeah.
You know, I need to be doing this, and then, you know, the worries of all that.
Yeah.
You know, but the line just.
Yeah.
It doesn't stay like, okay, the line's here.
Yeah.
Well, today it's here, tomorrow it's there.
Exactly.
It constantly moves.
Yeah.
And, and your emotions take into control of that.
Yeah.
And it is deceitful, because how can I help other people until I'm secure? Well, that's not what I think. It's not.
Don't say that. That. No.
No.
It's wrong.
You'll never get that security from money that you think you need.
No. So Deceitfulness of riches, number two. Number three. What's number three?
Cares of the world.
That's number one, Bob.
Oh, another thing to move forward. Other things. Watching too much Fox.
That's what it says in that
Bible. Oh, man.
I think, desire. Another version says lust for other things. So it's things in our heart that if I had this, or if I was where that guy was, or if I had whatever, then I would really be happy.
I deserve a happy marriage.
I deserve. Yeah. Yeah, I like those Jaguars. You know, have you seen those Jaguars?
Yep.
You know, I mean, those are really... Those are nice looking cars. I think if I had one of those, I think I would be a lot happier.
If you're taking one to the shop, go find out real quick.
Go into the shop, yeah. Okay.
Worst car I ever owned.
That's really deceitful, wasn't it?
Yeah,
they're really deceitful. You get a Jaguar.
Listen to Fox News and your Jaguar.
this is like sports. This is like the worship of sports. It's kind of like, man, if they win the World Series, then I'll finally be happy. And it's like, you know, who won the Super Bowl last year?
Cubs.
People pursue that. All caught up in it. So you just, that's just passing Pablo is what that is. But you get so caught up in, oh my gosh.
It's kind of like the guy on Saturday Night Live when he said, okay, the scores, the guy that was the happy weatherman, he's given the scores for the day. The score is 9-7, 8-4, 12-10, 2-1. No teams. Just the numbers. So everybody loves the numbers. You don't want to know what the score was. There's the score. So you get them. So, I mean, it's all foolishness is what, it's all foolishness. And so, what Jesus is saying, what this does is it chokes, these things choke the Word of God. So I'm trying to get into this book, and I'm trying to get this book in my heart, and I'm trying to figure it out, and I'm trying to get, and I'm choking. So I've got to get with Jesus and have Him help me. I have problems with all, I've had and do have problems at times with all three. They can jump up, they can get me in the, right, hit me right in the head. But I have to say to Him, I know this. So I've got to get it back. I've got to turn it back over. I've got to get out of it. He doesn't want us to have it. So we just have to move out. Pardon? Yeah, chasing the wind. It's meaningless, says the prophet Solomon. Meaningless.
Well, verse 20, here's the answer, Dave.
What's the answer, Andy?
Hear it and obey it. Accept it. Own it. That's pretty simple.
It's very simple.
You know, live with your wife in an understanding way, Andy. Well, what if she's not, Andy, live with your wife in an understanding way. But she's not, live with your wife in an understanding way. Okay. I get it.
Yeah. I have Andy's, I have a floor that, I have a new floor in my house. And I can't get passionate about a floor. In other words, I just can't do it. My wife had a beautiful floor. It's white, and beautiful rugs that we put in, five years ago. It's really looks really nice. My floors, my house. Well, she doesn't like those floors. She's not liked those floors for 7 or 8 years now. In other words, and I've been listening, and I nod my head, and I go, okay, what's wrong with the floor? What's wrong with the floor? Well, it gets dirt. It's white. It gets dirt all the time. I have to clean it all the time. I said, well, how about if I clean the floor? You know how long that lasted? That lasted once. And I cleaned it one time. And then after that, I forgot. I can't remember. I don't have any care about that. I don't care about the floor. So anyway, I said, okay, the day finally came. I mean, the poor woman, I mean, she's been living with this floor forever, and and Jesus is starting to get to me. You know, He's just saying, Dave, what are you going to do about that? I think it's good. Be good to get a floor. So anyway, we have this new beautiful floor. It's really, really nice. $5,100. Is that how I see it?
Yeah, 27 cents.
Yeah, I think so. So when I look at it, that's what I see. When she looks at it, I mean, she is so happy. I want to tell you. I mean, it's
like a sliced bread.
I'm telling you. No, so she goes out yesterday, she buys a rug. And I look down there, you know, I said, oh, how long does this go on? I said, then I had to go back and get forgiveness for that. See, I don't need to say that, you know. I don't want to say that. But sometimes I say things that I'm not supposed to say. And I'm just continually working on that kind of stuff, you know. So I said, Don, I am really sorry. I said, I don't know, that's stupid, you know. That was just stupid. I hope you like the rug. Do you like the rug? Do you like the rug, Dave? I really do. I do. I like that rug. I do, and I like the rug. It's a pretty rug. Do I need a rug? I don't need that rug. I don't need the floor. I don't need any of that. All I need is a roof. I need a roof and food, you know. So, I mean, yeah, a big screen TV for the Super Bowl. Yeah. So, I mean.
So you keep score.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're all dealing with the same stuff. See, this is the same stuff. But how I deal with it is my life and what Jesus is looking at. And how I handle all this and steward it and care for her and love her. And as Andy says, you know, be understanding of where she is. Not put everything into my grid, which I tend to do. You know, all as the process, I talk about my cone, you know. She's, what's going on in there, Dave? What is happening in there? I go, well, I have a cone. It goes like this. A cone. It's like an ice cream cone. It's a big one. And what I do is I gather information. And I take all this information, I put this in the cone, and then it comes down, there's a little hole at the bottom that comes into my head. And then I operate and act upon those things that come into my head. That's how it works. So she'll say to me, so what's in the cone? What's going in the cone right now? So if I'm sitting there thinking about something, she wants me to talk to her about it. See? So we've learned to communicate through that process. So see, the processes of how we get to this understanding way is how we eventually get to visit. The cone is a wonderful, it's been a wonderful thing, because women don't know what's going on. You know, they're trying to figure out, what is happening in there? What's going on in there? You know, because we're walking around looking at stuff, don't say much sometimes, you know. We finally shut our mouths after a while, you know. You realize we put our mouth in the foot in our mouth so many times, we quit after, you know. So anyway. Right. Tears of the world, huh? Yeah, that's kind of what I am, right? Right. Okay, so here we are. Finishing up this session for today. So, God does not want us doing His work. If discipleship is caught, not taught, He does the work of discipleship, and I don't want to get into His work. So it's like getting into my wife's nest. She has a little nest that she creates there all the time. This is a nesting deal. And if I get into that nest, it's not good. I'm telling you. So it's the same thing with God. When I get into God's side of the ledger, things that He's doing, things that He's working that I don't know about because He doesn't work the way I do, then that's a problem. So I'm better to keep my mouth shut, ask questions, tell stories, and be a friend. And love people, and lay down our life, basically what it is. It's as simple as that. And then they will somehow connect with Him, and eventually have His life working in their life. This is what each one of us want. Okay, John?